my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of a podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 133 of my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. As always, thank you so much for being a part of the show, whether you're listening, well, obviously you're listening, but if you share it, like it, and help get the word out about my 1-2-3 cents. Been at this now for 2.5 years. This month marks 2.5 years for my 1-2-3 cents, the podcast. The blog has been around much longer than that, started that in 2010, and the support has been overwhelming, and hopefully this year we hit 1 million views on my123cents.com. So if you haven't already, head over there and check out the blogs. Lots of different wrestling-related topics. I've been doing a lot of indie stuff in the last couple of weeks, especially with Stride Pro Wrestling, which, by the way, has a new YouTube show. Be sure to check that out on YouTube.com, and you can find it via the My123Cents or Stride Pro Wrestling Facebook pages. And Stride Pro Wrestling, by the way, had a big show Saturday night. It was our return to the Illinois Star Center Mall, and I say our return. I am the color commentator, and I also am the ring announcer as of right now for Stride Pro Wrestling, so I am obviously biased in that, but I do think it is some great wrestling action here for Southern Illinois, and doing some fundraising as well on June 10th, this Saturday. Stride is heading up to Mount Vernon Summersville Grade School, doing a big fundraiser for the Youth Build of Jefferson and Marion Counties. It's a program that helps students get their GEDs, do work placement, job placement kinds of things. So it's a fundraiser for a worthy cause, and I've been told that hundreds of tickets have already been sold. So be sure to come check it out. Again, it's happening on Saturday, June 10th, 6:30 bell time. Cowboy Bob Orton, by the way, the special guest, he's doing a meet and greet starting at 5 o'clock. Tickets for that are $25. And then Orton will be teaming up with former Billy Hills. They'll take on the tag team champions, Maximum Overdrive. That's Axe Allwirt and Scott Phoenix, led to the ring by Jay Wellington Beauregard. So that'll be a great evening of wrestling action. Also, later this month, June 24th, Cape Championship Wrestling. My friends across the river in Southeast Missouri, got a shout out for them as well. Their show Inferno is set for 7 p.m. at the AC Braze Arena. That is in Arena Park in Cape Girardeau. You can find them as well on Facebook and in the links section here on My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast. Those guys do a great job as well getting wrestling action for the fans in Southeast Missouri. And the great thing about Cape Championship Wrestling and Stride is we do have different wrestlers on Stride that wrestle for Cape and wrestlers for Cape that wrestle for Stride. So it's a great relationship that we have with them. And their fans come over here. Our fans go to Missouri. So it's a great situation for everyone involved. And you get a double dose of wrestling action every month. This month, you get 3 rounds because Stride has 2 shows. One, of course, this past Saturday, then one on June 10th, and then Cape Championship Wrestling, as I mentioned, June 24th. Also, Money in the Bank coming up on the 18th. I'll be headed to that as well. So, busy times for the world of professional wrestling. Chad, by the way, is coming into town and will be at the Stride Show on June 10th. He'll be my guest. We'll kind of wrap up the Stride Show. I want to get his opinion, see what his 1-2-3 cents are on Stride, because he has seen the YouTube show, but he hasn't seen it live and in person yet. So I'm anxious to hear what he thinks about Stride Pro Pro Wrestling. And speaking again of the Cape Girardeau connection, Podzilla 1985 is a podcast as well. I'm going to plug them. They do some great work over in Cape, covering Cape Championship Wrestling, specifically the Pro Wrestling Unscripted show. It's all kind of, I think how they've got it, they're all kind of under the umbrella of Podzilla 1985. They do several different shows. So be sure to look for them on Facebook. It's Podzilla 1985 and Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Met some of the guys on that podcast at the last Stride show. They are loyal supporters of both Stride and Cape Championship Wrestling. I appreciate their support. In the world of wrestling news, some sad news. Lanny Poffo tweeting out Sunday morning that his mother Judy had died overnight at the age of 90. Our condolences to the Poffo family. I know here in Southern Illinois, the Poffos were pretty popular in terms of their wrestling program that they aired actually on the TV station where I work, WSIL. And so our thoughts and prayers go out to the Poffo family. Also, WWE Hall of Famer Harley Race has suffered a fall and broken both of his legs at his home. So he is going to be on the road to mending. And I know that Harley has had some health issues recently as well. So our thoughts are with Harley Race as he gets better and hopefully recovers very quickly and is back to, I know he's been going to some shows in the Missouri, the St. Louis, Kansas City areas as well. So our thoughts certainly are with Harley Race as he continues to mend. As suggested by the title, this is an Ask My 123 Cents episode. No guest on this week. And in part due to my lack of planning, it's been kind of a crazy week and, you know, I can make excuses all day long, but the bottom line is I did not secure a guest, and so instead of sitting here talking about why I don't have a guest, I'll get right to the questions. I posted late Saturday night that I was going to do a Ask My 123 Cents format, and I did get some questions, and Chad actually tweeted a question to me, and I'm going to save that one for last because it's a more involved answer. And I'm looking forward to talking more about that. But Hunter Woodworth, who is a big fan of Stride Pro Wrestling and often visits the shows, he asks, who do I think will win, or who do I want to win, rather, the Women's Money in the Bank match? Of course, Money in the Bank is, as I mentioned, coming up on June 18th. And for the first time ever, the women are getting a shot with Money in the Bank, which I think is a great opportunity. I'm happy to see this happen. The SmackDown women's storyline seem to be better to me than the women on Raw storylines going right now. Charlotte is my favorite. I like Charlotte a lot. I would like to see her win it. I don't think she needs to win it. Matthew Dudley weighed in on this one too and said he's going to pick Carmella. I would not be surprised if they go with Carmella just because she is, I believe, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, out of the women who are competing in this, I think she is the one who has not held the championship. It would be an interesting, there's no precedent right now for the women's SmackDown Money in the Bank, or I'm sorry, the women's Money in the Bank matchup. So doesn't necessarily mean if you win the briefcase that you're going to win the championship, although there has been buzz and speculation. And the Carmella character is growing on me, especially now with the James Ellsworth element. I think on her own, she was kind of floundering, and I like that she's in the welcoming committee. And now that I'm thinking, I don't know that Tamina Snuka ever held the women's championship. I know they traded the championship a lot a few years back, so I'm not sure if Tamina Snuka ever had a piece of that pie or not. But who I want to win is I'm going to stick with Charlotte, who I think is going to win. Probably Carmella as well. I'll go with what Matt says. Hunter thinks it's going to be Becky. I don't know. I just seem like Becky is now kind of in a position. She's kind of fallen into that Natalya syndrome, which I wouldn't mind. Honestly, any of the women winning it, I am fine with. I like all of the female competitors on the SmackDown division. So I don't have a problem with any of those women going on and capturing the championships. Or the championship. Hunter asked also, he had two questions. Do I think WWE should bring back broken Matt Hardy? Due to the popularity of the character, I think it would be silly not to. Although sometimes I feel like when WWE brings in a wrestler from another promotion or someone who was over as a character somewhere else that was not a WWE creation, they tend to shy away from it and not go with it. Although I think, you know, the fans have been chanting delete, delete, delete. And, you know, Matt still kind of has that broken look as far as the hair goes. I don't know where the lawsuit stands. I know that Anthem, I think, had filed some sort of restraining order or something to stop WWE from using the broken gimmick, although I think it is just a Matt Hardy creation. I don't know what the intellectual properties and all the legalities of it go. Sure, I'd love to see it come back. Do I think it'll come back? Perhaps down the road here. I know by the time you're listening to this, Extreme Rules will be in the books. I predicted on the My123Cents blog that the Hardys would lose the tag team championships to Sheamus and Cesaro and kind of go their own separate ways. Not break up and feud by any means, but I do see them having more success as singles competitors. And there's still that opportunity, I think. I think there's still some gas left in their tanks, although both are, I believe both now are in their early 40s, but there's nothing wrong with that by any means. As a guy telling you right now, this podcast is in his 40s as well. So I do think that broken Matt Hardy, we will see him back if WWE can get the clearance and the go-ahead. And I hope that they don't water it down terribly and kind of let him, because everything, you've all heard the stories before now, how everything is so scripted right now with WWE. So I think they need to shy away from that a little bit more and give some more freedom. And I'm going to get to that, more on that coming up with Chad's question here in just a few minutes. An old friend of mine, Jeff Meyer, asks, and Jeff and I go way back to middle school days. He says, how can they get rid of this whole Reigns and Strowman thing? It is getting old and boring. I know Strowman is injured and out for a while, but it seems like it, to me, that it got old really quick from the beginning. Just saying. I don't totally agree with that assessment, Jeff. Obviously, yeah, now Strowman is out. I think I read 8 weeks, although there were people speculating he was going to be out much longer. I feel like the whole Roman Reigns, getting involved with Roman Reigns, kind of actually put Braun Strowman on the map. I know last year after the trade or the draft, he came in as this big monster and was tearing things up, but then it seemed like he just kind of flatlined and didn't really do a whole lot. And then my interest in him peaked really with the whole Roman Reigns thing, and I don't know if it's because it was something fresh, because I felt like at the time it was something fresh. Roman Reigns was kind of getting thrown around like a rag doll, basically, and having his ass kicked week after week. And it was not that I dislike Roman Reigns, but it was refreshing. You know, Roman Reigns had been so dominant, and now they're kind of putting, their eggs into the Braun Strowman basket. Will Braun come back and win the championship? Will he feud with Brock Lesnar? That would be interesting. And I do think that he is a missing piece of the puzzle for the five-way event that happened at Extreme Rules. So I'll be curious to see what they do when Braun does come back and who has won the Extreme Rules match. It would certainly be, I think, worthy of coming back for Braun Strowman and wrapping things up with Roman Reigns and then moving on to the next contender or the next feud. Who that is for Braun, I don't know. When you mess with the big dog and presumably the face of Monday Night Raw, or at least what they're trying to present it as, because you don't have a champion who is on there consistently as far as the Universal Champion goes. And it doesn't feel like they're not putting any extra emphasis on the Intercontinental Championship. So I don't know. My thought is it will end soon after Braun returns, I believe, and each man will go on to other contests, other feuds, other men on the roster to take on. So yeah, I'm curious to see where it goes from here, but it's been an interesting dynamic, an interesting ride, I think, at least, for the whole Braun Strowman character. He's kind of finally reached that level where he's been kind of simmering for a while, and now the pot is boiling over, and then unfortunately he got hurt. But I think he comes back and will still have that momentum. And I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back as a quasi babyface, because I think he was getting the cheers already. And you know how it goes when a guy takes time off for an injury and they come back, the fans typically pop and cheer, and they were already cheering him when he was destroying Roman Reigns. So the next few months, once he returns leading up to SummerSlam, I wouldn't mind a Braun Strowman Brock Lesnar match at SummerSlam, quite honestly, but we'll have to wait and see how that goes and how his recovery comes along. As promised, and before I get to Chad's question, I wanted to do a couple more shout-outs. Ryan Bowman is a guy that I met a couple weeks ago at a Stride show. He is a for lack of a better word, a wrestling journalist, and we've kind of chatted on Facebook since. He has a site called The Gorilla Position. He has some interesting insight and some interviews that he has done as well, and he puts those out in blog form. And he's on Facebook as well, The Gorilla Position. And Ryan has made a suggestion that we kind of team up and collaborate and do some stuff together. So hopefully we can get together here and chat and talk things out and figure out ways to reach more fans with both of our products. So I look forward to that. And again, check out Ryan. He is, again, The Gorilla Position, or thegorillaposition.com. Read what he's got going on. He does a good job, and I look forward to chatting with him and meeting with him and talking more. So now to Chad's question, kind of the main event of today's podcast. With Raw's ratings low, should Vince McMahon come back on air, or should WWE plan long-term engaging storylines to get fans interested? I'm going to kind of dissect this answer in a couple of different ways, and it's going to sound like I am towing the WWE line, and I guess I kind of am, but I, for those of you who don't know, I work as a TV news journalist. I am a morning news anchor here in Southern Illinois, and when it comes to ratings across the board, just in general for television, you can look anywhere and read this, TV ratings are down. Part of that is the way that ratings are now being tracked. Traditionally, it used to be you got a book, and that's why it was called The Book. Basically, you got a book, you recorded what you were writing in this book, and then you mailed it back in, and then the Nielsen people did their thing and figured out the numbers, who was watching when and what and whatever. And that's how you got a rating. Now, it's my understanding that it's become more of a digital thing, and this first year has kind of been a transition year, and people are wearing, and don't quote me on this 100%, like a tracking bracelet of some sort, and that's working with your box at home, and that's what's tracking now, and it's all done digitally. So I think there have been some hiccups, some bumps in the road, because, like I said, ratings across the board, whether it's local television or just you know, what people are watching on network or cable, satellite, are down as well. People are consuming TV differently than they did even a year ago, but definitely 5, 10, 15 years ago. I mean, back in the day, we would flip back and forth between Raw and Monday Nitro. Now, theoretically, you could have been recording one on your DVR and watching the other one, or doing the split box and watching them both at the same time. And I don't think ratings, or at least I think when people report on the ratings, I don't think they factor in the DVR element, because I do think there's a separate category. And again, I'm speaking kind of knowing what I'm talking about and kind of what I've heard from other places and whatnot. I think that there's a separate system for tracking those who are recording. So yeah, people may say ratings are down, and they may very well be down, but to be fair, they're down across the board. And people may be watching Raw via YouTube. You know, Raw has a, or WWE has a YouTube channel now where they post clips from Raw. I will go if I don't have time to go back and watch everything on DVR, because I get up in the middle of the night, so I DVR it and then watch it on Tuesday. Same thing with SmackDown. I watch it on Wednesday. If I don't have time that week to go and sit and commit to that 3 hours, even though I am fast-forwarding through stuff, I'll go online and I'll watch the clips on WWE.com. So I don't necessarily think, and I do know that the ratings are down. They were competing with I believe it was the NBA Finals or the NHL. There were other sporting elements going on. But, you know, people are consuming their TV in different ways. Some people have eliminated the satellite and cable thing altogether because of things like Netflix and, you know, Google or Amazon Prime and things – or not Amazon Prime, but things that they can watch online now. You don't have to, you know, TV on demand, you don't have to sit there and wait for the program to come on. So I think that has hurt TV in general, not just wrestling and Raw, because I know that Impact ratings have been down as well. The other thing is, yes, I agree that there are things that can be done with the Raw product to make it more appealing. I think 3 hours is still too long for a wrestling program. I know it's been talked about 1,000 times over. That's something that the USA Network wanted. That's something WWE has had to commit to. So there's no getting out of that deal, I don't think. So, you know, until USA decides we don't want 3 hours anymore, because it is still, despite the fact that ratings are quote-unquote down for USA for that time slot, you know, it's better than showing a repeat episode of Modern Family, for example. So that with that kind of explanation out of the way, yes, I do think that there's something that needs to be done to make it more engaging, to make fans become more interested again. Does Vince McMahon do that? Well, yes, he seems to have that magic dust when he does show up. Ratings do pop. But, you know, you can go to that well only so many times. I do think that WWE needs to do more engaging storylines. I don't work there. I don't know what the situation is. It's easy for me to sit here an armchair quarterback or Tuesday morning booker or Wednesday morning booker, whatever you want to call it. You know, I'm not going to be overly critical because I'm not there. I don't know the dynamic of what is going on. I am a fan with an opinion who has been watching for 35 years, but does that make me an expert? No, it doesn't. So I feel like, yes, WWE should probably, at least the creative side of things, and I think that goes along with what I was talking about earlier, scripting the promos. You know, go back to that time when you told the wrestler or the manager, here are your talking points, here's what we want to get over, you go out there and make the magic. And yeah, I get that there are some guys who need to be scripted and need to be told exactly what to say. That doesn't always work, though. And when you try to lock somebody into a script, you do find that they're out there trying to remember their lines or whatever. And then there's fear of, if I go off script, you know, if this segment turns sideways, like the This Is Your Life thing from the other night with Bayley and Alexa Bliss, you know, what happens? Do the superstars get in trouble because they see that it's going sideways and they go off script to kind of get back on course? Or do they stay with the script and then get punished because the segment flops? And I don't know. Again, I don't work there. I'm not going to be overly critical of the product. I'm trying to keep more of a positive flow going with my 1-2-3 cents, with the blogs that I write, and with the podcast that I do. But yes, as a paying fan and a paying customer, I do think that fans have a right to complain. But I don't think, you know, sitting there constantly looking for problems in the product is going to make things any better either. And, you know, these are men and women who are out there doing their best that they can, whether it's the ones who are stepping through the ropes and actually wrestling or the ones behind the scenes writing. But, you know, yes, things could be better. Things could always be better. I mean, we can be critical of every single element, every single thing of life. I just want to have fun, whether it's sitting there for an hour or two or three and watching and kind of escaping the reality of life, because, you know, there are times that, you know, this world sucks and we want to escape and think of other things and do other things and be distracted. And that's part of the whole part of wrestling and entertainment, is to be distracted and get lost in that for a little bit and have some fun. And, you know, it's not always the most doesn't have all the continuity that it should. Logic is thrown out the window sometimes. But you know what? I've been watching The Simpsons for 30 years, and it's the same thing. You know, it's not logical. It's not. There's continuity issues there as well, but I don't sit there and complain about that every week. So the bottom line is, it's entertainment. It's meant to be enjoyed and consumed and have fun with. The internet has given us all a voice, some of us a louder voice because of podcasts and blogs and whatnot, but social media in general has made it a level playing field for everyone to whether they want to complain about or praise and put over. We all kind of do that. So try to look at things more half glass full. Yes, I think Vince McMahon will probably be back on TV at some point. It was 10 years ago this month, by the way, that he quote-unquote died on TV when his limousine exploded. I still, you know, obviously there were extenuating circumstances that prevented that storyline from carrying on. I like Vince McMahon. I think that he is sometimes out of touch with reality, but who, you know, how many 70-year-olds do you know that aren't? It's always fun to see him back, though, and, you know, I don't mind the quick appearances from him. It's when Stephanie gets involved that I kind of have a problem. But anyway, I'm keeping this positive. I do think, though, Chad, you're right. Some things can be changed to make things a little more engaging and long-term storylines. You know, I've been listening to the Something to Wrestle With Bruce Pritchard podcast, and this past week they talked about Hulk Hogan 1988 and the Mega Power storyline and how well, that was orchestrated and put together. They need more of that, that long-term planning. And I know that that's hard to do in this day and age because they're doing more shows. They're doing more events. You're increasing the chances of wrestlers being hurt and taken out with story, you know, for storylines. Braun Strowman, for example, comes to mind. I think that they were laying some good groundwork with him. You know, Finn Balor, when he got hurt. So I get it. You can't always go with those kinds of plans because injuries happen and things, you know, pop up from time to time. But the bottom line is this: watch it, be entertained with it. If you're not, there's always next week because look, WWE is not going anywhere. It's 52 weeks of new entertainment, new programming. And then, of course, there's the network. So if you don't like what you're watching today, go back and watch something from an era that you did enjoy. And, you know, maybe things will change by the next cycle because I think wrestling is a up and down. And, you know, sometimes it's great, sometimes it sucks. But you know what? It's my passion. I love it. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. So that is my 1-2-3 cents for this week. Thanks so much for listening. Be sure to share this if you've made it through the 26 minutes of hell. And I appreciate the support. As always, my123cents.com. Check us out also Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.